honor and a privilege to have the opportunity to teach the adult Sunday school class. You all have been absolutely amazing students, and there will be an exam at the end of this one, so be ready. Today, we're going to be talking about Jesus is the Christ. Awesome. Important for us to know this. This is not known by everybody, that Jesus is the Christ. And what a great opportunity, what a great season we're in right now to express that to people, that the babe that was born in Bethlehem is the Christ. Jesus is the Christ. He is our Savior. Emmanuel, God with us. Hallelujah. This morning, I'm going to give a shout out to Justin at work. Talked to him this morning and told him that if he wanted to see a really amazing worship service and a mediocre at best a Sunday school lesson this morning, to tune in at 10 o'clock and 11 o'clock. So I hope that he is there. But thanks for watching, Justin. Our focus thought today, because Jesus Christ is the only object of saving faith, it is important for people to know who Jesus is. It's important for people to know who he is. Without knowing Jesus Christ, how can they be saved? How can you and I be saved today without knowing who Jesus is? Because there's no salvation outside of that. So we must know who he is. Acts 18 and verse 5 is our focus verse. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that, everybody say it, Jesus was Christ. Interesting stuff in there. You read that a million times, but the word that popped out the most this time, it's amazing, each time you read something in Scripture, something else pops out. The word pressed. What other term or what other time does Paul use that particular word in Scripture? Pressed toward the mark. There are times that we press, and there are times that the Lord presses us to move in certain directions. He was pressed at this. It took both God pressing him and Paul pressing forward in faith to speak out in this situation and testify to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. Jesus is pressing us today to go forward and testify of who he is. So I challenge you to press towards that same end and tell somebody who Jesus is. Amen. Our lesson text, I'll let you read that at your leisure. John 8, 23 and 24, and then Acts 18, 1 through 6, the entire story there. In our culture connection, how much clout do you have? And it's misspelled if you've got your book on purpose. Back in 2008, when the internet was invented by Al Gore, there was a website, a startup, called www.clout.com. Clout.com. It was an algorithm that was created to measure the amount of clout that you had online. So how many friends you've got on Facebook, how many people listen and respond to you, how many, I don't even know if Facebook was around in 2008. I don't remember. But it was an algorithm. It measured your online presence and how many people were influenced by what you said and did online. So if anybody wants to know, I don't know if it's even still out there. I didn't even try to go look because it doesn't really matter how much clout I have online. And you'll see that here in just a second. But your influence could be calculated by the amount of times others interacted with things that you shared or posted. So how important is the amount of clout that you have? Forbes magazine tells us a story of a prominent marketing guru who was eliminated from consideration for an employment opportunity because his clout score was too low. Isn't that crazy? You're not influencing enough people. And in marketing, I guess that's kind of a big deal, right? That's the whole point of marketing, influence people. And he didn't have a whole lot of influence. So it's kind of hard to get into the marketing business with no clout. So it goes back to the old saying, it's not what you know, it's who you know. So I ask you today, who do you know? Who do you know? Huh? When it comes to our salvation, our testimony, and answered prayer, it's about who we know. When you get to know who Jesus is, and have the confidence to explain him to others, it makes all the difference. Who do you know? And if you know Jesus, like I know that you do, you can't help but tell others about the healings, about the things that God has done in your life, the miracles, the miracle of salvation in your life, the miracle of his coming. You can't help. If you really know Jesus, you cannot help. You will be pressed like Paul was pressed to tell them and testify who Jesus is. Jesus told his opponents, "Ye are from beneath and I am from above. Ye are of this world and I am not of this world. I say therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." Without truth about Jesus, people will be lost. The believer's job is to help others be born from above, to know who Jesus is, and to be affected by Jesus. Not just to know about him. How many people know who President Donald Trump is? Right? We may know about him through his tweets. We may know about him because of his TV show or the businesses or the towers that he has built around the world. We may know about him. But how many of us truly know him? How many people in this world today know about Jesus? They've heard the story of Christmas. They've heard of his coming. They've heard even of the cross and the sacrifice that he gave. They've heard testimonies of miracles in people's lives. They know about these things, but they don't really know Jesus. And our job is not just to let them know about him, but our job is to help them get to know him. Get to know him. After visiting one of the largest churches in America recently and sitting through the preacher's whole message, a minister told how he was shocked that the man never mentioned Jesus. Not one mention of Jesus in the entire message. Not only do millions of people attend churches where Jesus is out of the spotlight, but many also have never heard the truth about Jesus Christ. They do not know who he really is. Is there anybody here that knows who Jesus really is? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who will tell them? The Lord has reserved only one way to spread his message. Anybody know how that is? You and me. One way. Hallelujah. We hear testimonies every once in a while, miracles, you know, somebody in the middle of nowhere with no internet connection, in the middle of the, who knows, in the middle of the Sahara Desert, whatever, and God speaks to them, and they go, because of that encounter, go and meet somebody, and the way is explained more perfectly. We see that in Scripture as well. I mean, with the eunuch and Philip, we see that. Most of the time, and even in that situation, somebody explained the way more clearly. And who is that somebody? It's me. It's you. It's all of us. It's what we do collectively. It's a Christmas party at the Villa's house. It's a share group on a Tuesday night. It's prayer meeting. It's in our home potluck ministries. Right? Or what do we call it? Crockpot Ministries. I knew I'd get it right eventually. Crockpot Ministries. I just like the sound of that. I like the sound of the results. You're fed both physically and spiritually. Praise God. Nothing wrong with feeding people and feeding people. All right. So it is left up to us. He left it up to us, his people, to tell others. Many, sadly, do not know who Jesus is. The people Jesus introduced himself to did not know that they needed him. Many that we encounter today do not know that they need him. The religious leaders of his day were offended at him because they did not know who he was. They didn't understand who Jesus was. And so the words that were coming out of his mouth were offensive to them. It's like, who does he think he is? I'm like, oh, he knew who he was. You just don't know who he is. They knew their rules. They knew their positions. But they did not know Jesus. It is scary to think that some people only know church, but they don't know Jesus. Lots of good church people don't know Jesus. They have no relationship with Jesus Christ. And it is so vital and so important for us to share that news, that good news of who Jesus is. When did you discover the difference between the actions of worship and that deep relationship with the Lord? Anybody? You remember that moment when it went from, I'm doing this because I'm in church, to, wow, this is real. There's something about this. I was thinking about that question last night, and I was going back in my mind because I couldn't remember exactly when that was. But I do remember a specific service where I don't know how old I was. I know I was small enough to be sitting on my mother's lap in an altar call. And I remember her comforting me because I could not hold back the tears. And it was a moment that me and God had that I didn't really understand it all, but I could feel his presence. I didn't quite understand exactly what was happening, but there was a moment right then that God was ministering to my young heart. And it led to a deeper relationship later on. But I do specifically remember that moment of sitting on mom's lap and crying through an altar call. And they didn't know what, you know, you would think Pentecostal parents, love you, Mom. The Pentecostal parents would understand that God was moving on me. I was being consoled because I was crying uncontrollably in the presence of the Lord. But that was my, any other, do you remember that first moment? Maybe the first service where you really responded to the presence of God. Brother Steve? I know.
Mm. 1985.
Yeah. Incredible.
And then I went home and it's like resurrection power. Mm. You understand it? Even to this day, it's just so grateful.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I do understand.
Right.
It's unfathomable.
Yeah. Exactly. It blows the mind. You know, it's so beyond what we're capable of even understanding really in ourselves. But because of that experience, you know him better than you knew him before. Praise God. And every day, Brother Green kept talking about this, every day with Jesus is better than the day before. And it's incredible. We get to know him in relationship. Why do we pray? Why do we spend time in his presence? Why do we come to church? Why do we listen to people yell at you? It's called preaching. But why do we listen to people yell at you all the time when you come to church? It's because we're learning and growing closer to Jesus Christ. That's what we're doing when we come to the house of the Lord. When we fellowship together with God's people, what are we doing? We're getting to know Jesus better. When we read his word, what better way to get to know Jesus than to read his word? Right? It's all about getting to know him better. And the more you know him, the more you want to share with others that they need to. If God could do this for me, if God could heal my body, if God could pull me out of the pit that I was in, then he can do it for you. He can do it for you. Jesus didn't just come to save me. He came to save the world. The world. And he gave us the responsibility of sharing who he is with them. I don't know how I even got off on that. Oh, here we go. It was the question. So Jesus said, if you believe not that I am he, you will die in your sins. Why must people know about Jesus? Because they have no chance without him. No chance without him. People must see that Jesus is the I am that was spoke to that spoke to Moses through the burning bush. He is God in flesh. The role of a disciple maker, that's you and I, is to help others see this and to become like him. To become like him. Jesus is just one of those characters that if you hang around, you ever hang around somebody that is just a little bit different, a little bit odd, and you hang around them long enough and you start acting like them? Like if I hang out in Canada too long, my sarcasm gets out of control. It just does. And I drink way too much Tim Hortons coffee and start. My speech changes. I get a little bit more of an accent and some of my habits and some of the brands that I buy and the places that I go, those all start to change because I'm hanging out in Nova Scotia with family and friends that act a certain way. And when you hang out with Jesus, when you spend time with him in his presence and in his word, you will find that your life will change. The way that you talk will change. The way that you act, the way that you dress, the places that you go, all of these things will change because you're hanging out with Jesus, spending time with him. Being with Jesus will influence your life. You will see changes occur in your life because of your interaction with him. If nothing is changing in your life, maybe you just know a little bit about Jesus. Maybe you don't really know him. Because when you know him, your life is changed. Your life is changed. Preaching, songs, dramas, and other methods will bring people to an awareness. I'm so thankful for the different things that we do. Kids' days and special Christmas sing that I couldn't do anything about. And those times where we get to invite people to the house of God for special things, potlucks and all of those kind of things. It brings them into an atmosphere where they can learn about Him. But teaching is necessary for full comprehension. On the unbeliever's side, one thing is necessary, and that is simply belief. Do you believe that He is? Do you believe that He is? They must choose to believe. It is a choice today. This often comes as God opens their understanding to His Word and gives revelation about Himself. And how does that occur? Disciple makers, how does that occur? Teaching. And who does the teaching? Teachers. That's you and I. You and I. Paul testified to the Jews about Jesus. He was pressed to testify to the Jews about Jesus. He'd been going to the synagogues, teaching, debating. I don't know how all that works yet. Still studying all that stuff out, but going in there and discussing this stuff. But he was pressed to go beyond just talking about things. But I need to tell you who Jesus is. Because after all the discussions we've had, all of the potlucks that we've had, all of the crockpot ministry that we have, I can still see in your life that you don't really know who Jesus is. And there is a specific time, a lot of times, in our relationships with people that do not know Jesus, where we feel pressed in our spirit. Today is the day that I am going to tell them who Jesus is. Today is a day of decision. Today is a day of choice. Today I'm going to press for an answer. Do you believe who Jesus is? Paul was pressed in his spirit. Love has to be the distinguishing motivator for the mission of God's people. If we just do it because we're told to do it, we will burn out. We will not have passion for what we do. We will not have passion for souls if we just do it because we're told to. Brother Glover keeps talking about it. I really need to get a Bible. I need to get a Bible study. I need to get a Bible study because otherwise I'm going to disappoint Pastor. And if that's your motivation, get the Bible study. Okay, but you need to love people. Love people enough to understand they need to know who Jesus is. And I may be the only connection that they'll ever have to Jesus. Love people. That has to be the motivation behind what they do. It was love for the lost that drove even Jesus onward. Paul was devoted to preaching to the Jews. In Athens, Paul had to appeal to the Greek intellect and cultural logic. He had to find, what was it? Paul said that I have to be all things to all people, all men. So in Athens, he had to appeal to Greek intellect and cultural logic. Corinth, however, was known for immorality. So how in the world is Paul going to connect with people known for immorality? Immorality deals with passions in a person's life. Paul had to connect with the passionate side of those people and turn their passion for immorality to a passion for Jesus Christ. You've got to find the key a lot of times to reach people, to open the door to their heart, to understand what their life experiences have brought them to, where they're at in their life, the things that they have gone through. And that's where just talking to people, becoming friends with people is so vital in reaching people. We need to know them in order to present the gospel to them so that they can understand that Jesus can take care of and heal the broken heart. He can take care of those problems in your past. He can take care if your passions are misaligned and your passions are going towards things that are immoral. God can take that and turn that around, and your passion will be Christ. He can turn that around. Praise God. So we have to adapt to the culture in which we find ourselves in and understand how to express the gospel to them. We must be all things to all men. But I think if you know the story, we see that they didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to hear it. Paul felt pressed to tell them, and they just didn't want to hear it. They didn't realize or didn't understand or just didn't get it. Paul went to the synagogues in Corinth to teach and discuss Scripture every week. So this wasn't like a surprise visit. Just showed up out of the blue. Hey, let me tell you who Jesus is. I feel pressed to my spirit today to tell you who Jesus is. And I just walked in off the street. You don't know me from Adam. Right? I don't know where that saying came from, but Paul may have used it. I don't know. But he that day felt pressed. Paul's faithful co-worker, Silas, showed up, bringing with him Timothy. Paul appears to have been refreshed, I imagine, going every day to the synagogue and discussing this stuff with no light bulbs going off, no response. 3 years Bible study, was it? And a light bulb went off. Right? So he is refreshed. We can refresh one another, encourage one another. Hey, I've been in this Bible study, and we just seem to be hitting a wall. We're not getting anywhere. We're just repeating the same lesson. We're not getting anywhere. We're not getting to the power of God. We're not getting to who God really is and what he wants to do in their life. We're just kind of at a seems like an impasse. But Timothy and Silas show up and refresh Paul. With these men of faith. Inspired and moved by the Spirit, Paul preached very clearly that Jesus is the Anointed One, and they must believe that Jesus is the I Am. They needed it, but they rejected it. They needed it, but they rejected it. And Paul says, Acts 18:6, your blood be upon your own heads. Seems harsh, doesn't it? A choice has to be made. A choice has to be made. Who all came in to church? And I know I was born under the pew, but who all came into church? I had to make a choice. I'm not going to heaven because of mom and dad, grandma and grandpa. There came a day that I had to make a choice. There was a day that you came in those church doors or into that Bible study and you made a choice. I choose Jesus. I choose to believe who he is and what he can do in my life. Paul saw from their rejection that they had chose not to believe who Jesus was. And so his response was very plain and blunt. Just like their response was plain and blunt. Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. I told you who Jesus was. I did my job. I did what I was supposed to do. The decision now rests on you. The decision rests on you. And so henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. So he was preaching to the Jews. They refused. Said, you made your choice. You made your bed. Now lay in it. All the parents that have used that on their children said, amen. Paul decides to go to the Gentiles instead. Rejection, it hurts. Even when you know that you're doing the right thing, encouragement is always in order. If someone ever comes to you and says, I'm really having a difficult time with this Bible study, say, hey, why don't I go with you next time? Maybe in some way, a new perspective or some fresh words in the conversation, or maybe if they don't want to meet with somebody else, guess what? What time is that Bible study? Because I'm going to be praying for you for that hour. I'm going to let you know that I'm standing behind you. And guess what? Just not me. Let's get the share group involved and let's have them pray during that time and really build up that encouragement and get you back on the path of reaching that person. Encouragement is always in order. The Lord himself encouraged Paul by reminding him to stick it out in Corinth because they needed his message. What motivates you to keep reaching out to those without God? What motivates you? It's got to be your love. It's got to be your love for souls. People that do not know him, that need to know him. He refused to be discouraged when the Jews would not listen. Though a child of God could become silenced by intimidation, we must never let rejection stop us from fulfilling our mission. There are much people in our city. Jesus spoke of the types of soil that we would encounter when spreading the word of God. A believer will share the good news and some will be rejected because their heads are too hard to receive it. Others will accept it and then fall away. Still more will respond to the gospel, but then become distracted with the cares of life, having not realized the value of what they have received. Still, we must persist in planting the word of God in others' hearts until it takes root in some and grows up to bear fruit. Why are we doing what we're doing? They need to know who Jesus is. They need to know not just about him, but this whole discipling process should bring them to the point where they themselves are bearing fruit, just like you bear fruit in your life. They too can grow to maturity and bear fruit. But it starts by planting the seed. We plant, we water, God gives the increase. God, break up the fallow ground. Tap those guys on the head that their heads are too hard to listen to the gospel. Those that their hearts are too stone-like to really grasp and allow the seed of the word of God in. But then there may be a day when the decision is made, I don't want your Jesus. Do we continue down the path of beating them into submission? No, a choice has been made. We continue to pray for them. We continue to be their friend. We do everything we can to continue to be an example in their life. But sometimes we got to move from the Jews to the Gentiles. We got to move from somebody that does not and has verbally said, I don't want this, to somebody that does. Because there are hungry people in our city. There are hungry people that want to know who Jesus is. And if our time is completely consumed with those that have refused repeatedly to know who Jesus is or have any desire for him, then those that are truly hungry are missing out. Are missing out. Be wise in your soul winning. Be wise in your Bible studies. Take counsel if you don't know. Pastor, I've been teaching this Bible study, and sometimes 3 years is good. I mean, the disciples were with Jesus for that long before they got the Holy Ghost. right? So it's all right. It's all right to spend some time. But somebody absolutely refuses. I don't want nothing to do with this. The response is we need to find somebody who's hungry. Find somebody who is hungry. He decided to speak to people who would listen. Too many people who could have been great soul winners burned out early because they spent all of their time trying to get the word of God to stick in hard hearts. Paul was ready to move on. We need to push and be pressed in our hearts to press the question, either accept or reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why do we have altar calls in our services? To press the question, accept or reject. It's very important. We are free will people. God created us with a choice, and we must make one. And if we don't make one, guess what? That is your choice. Not making a choice is your choice. It's important for you to make a choice, accept or reject who Jesus Christ really is. And I pray today that the seed of the Word of God would be planted in your heart today and that you would accept who Jesus Christ really is and what He wants to do for you in your life today. We must tell people that Jesus is the Christ. Discipleship is more than just helping others get baptized in Jesus' name or filled with the Holy Ghost. Disciples also need to grow up into the fullness of Christ, rooted and grounded in love. Whatever Jesus is, that is what the disciple must become in character and in morals, to be like Jesus. That's what I desire in my life, to be like Him. And who is Jesus? Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. When Paul spoke to the Jews, he had to convince them that Jesus was the Messiah. He had to come to the understanding God in His new, or they had to come to the understanding of God in His new manifestation in flesh. Paul had to convince non-Jews who had been raised believing in multiple gods that there was only one God. There's different things that you need to convince people of when witnessing to them, depending on what their background may be, what their understanding of God is. We need to be willing to do that. Paul had to convince unbelievers that Jesus was the one. The modern challenge is convincing Western Christianity that Jesus is not in the Godhead, but that the Godhead is in Jesus Christ. So much false teaching and doctrine in this world, and the stuff that they put out there as fact on things like the History Channel that's being blasted in the homes of millions of people. I've had so many discussions about shows on the Bible that has nothing to do with the Bible. There's no aliens in the Bible. I'm just going to put that out there. Okay? They didn't come in great big huge mechanical things and give you all of the descriptions in Revelation. Right? It wasn't aliens. It's God's revelation. Praise God. You got to believe the Word. I mean, I believe the Word long before I'll ever believe the History Channel. Or just because some guy with crazy hair says this is how it is. Some scientist. I'm going to believe the Word. I made that choice a long time ago. I made the choice to believe the Word. I want to know Jesus, and I'm going to find Him in the Word. I'm not going to find Him on television. I'm not going to find Him on the History Channel. I'm not going to find Him in magazines and publications and books. I'm going to find Him in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Let's make up in our mind that that's where we're going to find out who Jesus is. really is. Praise God. That was free today. That wasn't even in the lesson. Salvation comes only through the name of Jesus. We know that Paul knew salvation came through no other name. No other name. Ah. He also taught the believers to be crucified with Christ and join him in that death by baptism. Baptized into his death in his name. Those who have come to faith in Jesus Christ must be baptized in his name. Paul baptized the new believers in Jesus' name. And he made it very clear when there was disputes. It wasn't me. I'll have other people baptize you if that's how you're going to be. Well, I was baptized into Paul. I was baptized under Brother Stoddard in Nova Scotia. I was baptized in Jesus' name. All right, I was baptized in Jesus' name. Let's stand this morning. I am done, but I'm almost done. Brother Green said after he had been speaking for 30 minutes that he was told he had 20 minutes, and it just started 3 minutes ago. Praise God. But I am done, honestly. You might be a Paul today where you are going out into new fields. You may be a Paul today. Maybe you're an Aquila or a Priscilla, who can assist Paul in starting the work he is called to. Okay? Are you finding who you are today? Perhaps you're a Silas or a Timothy who encourages God's workers and helps them to launch into their calling. Who are you today? Are you Paul? Are you Aquila, Priscilla, Silas, Timothy? How can we come alongside other workers in the kingdom and help push them forward doing what the Lord has called them to do? Find your calling. Tell people who Jesus is. Encourage those around you to tell who Jesus is. Assist them in any way you can. If crockpot ministry and you don't have anybody to bring over to your house, I'm going to set up the crockpot and somebody else can bring them to my house. However I can assist, however I can help, find a way to do it so that somebody today can know about Jesus Christ and who he is. Praise God. As we go to